A lot of times, we as Christians, we may feel like, I need more faith. I need more faith because there seems to be things around me that need to get done, and those things that need to get done are not going to be done just by sheer human strength. So I need more faith. I need miracle-working faith, in other words, something that will transcend the natural world. But is that only what faith is about, or is there a larger picture? Good morning and welcome to God's Resistance, where we resist sin, self, the devil, and the world. And we're doing that on an offensive manner. We are resisting that so we can take ground for Jesus Christ by cooperating with His Spirit and the expanding of His kingdom, both in our lives and the lives of people around us. And today we're talking about faith. That obviously, if we're wanting to take good spiritual ground for ourselves, and for people around us in God's kingdom, then it seems very evident that we realize it's got to be by faith. We need faith to be able to do this because I don't have the strength in and of myself to. And so we're going to be looking in a portion of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 22 to convey a certain point. And so let's start by reading that. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. As we think about Hebrews chapter 11, oftentimes people may say, I need more faith. Where do you go? Oh, what is faith? You know, where do you go in the scripture? We have those questions and we think, well, Hebrews chapter 11, that's known as the faith chapter. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, though, I've heard many messages. I probably have even preached messages concerning faith from this chapter, but it seems almost silly. And maybe you've had this experience where I've read through that chapter so many times. I couldn't even give you a number. It's just, you know, being familiar with the Bible, you read through all those things. And just recently, I realized the entire context of this chapter is not miracle-working faith, but persevering faith. These Hebrew converts to Christianity were being persecuted by Judaizers, people that thought they still needed to keep the ceremonial law in order to be pleasing to God. And they're thinking about turning back because the persecution was so hot and heavy. And what they are told throughout this book is Jesus is enough. Jesus has fulfilled all these separate ceremonial things. You don't need those. You need Christ. And then when we get to Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews is exhorting those Jewish people to have a persevering faith through all difficulties and all odds, because look, here are all these people that have done this. And the one that we're dealing with here this morning specifically is Abraham. So faith leads to action. Faith in God now makes us a mystery often to those people that are around us. Faith in God now makes us a mystery sometimes even to ourselves. We wonder, you know, I feel like this is what God is asking of me. You know, it doesn't go against what the scriptures speak. And it seems to be that God has given me this impression, this promise, this something or other, and this is a point of obedience for me. And sometimes when we do that, people around us think, this person's crazy. You know, it doesn't seem logical. It's not that we just do something that's totally ridiculous just for the sake of doing it, but oftentimes faith is when it goes outside of our natural bounds. Faith is that we are trusting God to do things that are way above and beyond the normal. And as we'll find when we look through the life of Abraham, that's exactly what happened. So faith in God makes us a mystery to those around us, but also to ourselves. Like, Lord, is this really what you want? This seems like I've got some questions here, Lord. Is this really what's happening? And we should test every impression out by the word of God, because if we just go by impressions and feelings, we're oftentimes going to be in very dangerous place spiritually, saying God has told us to do certain things that he really would never do. Faith in God also dethrones self. We may have our thoughts and ideas, and I don't just mean a wicked and corrupted self either, just our own thinking, our own outlook on things, what we think is the way that things should be done. Faith dethrones all of that. And so here we are looking at the life of Abraham, And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So let's go backwards a little bit in Abraham's life. If you go in Genesis chapter 12, by faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, which was a fairly wealthy place from what I understand. And he had everything he needed, right? He had a home, he had his family, he had his flocks, you know, he had sustenance, he had all that kind of stuff. And now God is just asking him to leave. And he says to him, I'm going to make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is what he tells Abraham. So by faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. Why? Well, God said he was going to make of Abraham a great nation. Abraham was 75 years old when God told him this, and this is in the fourth verse of chapter 12. It says he was 75 years old. And this here is the first time God promised Abraham a son. How do you get that, you might ask? Well, he says because he's going to make a great nation out of him. All the world is going to be blessed through him. And at this point, he doesn't have a child. So it isn't as clearly spelled out as it is just a little while later, but this is the very first time that he has been given a promise that he has to have a child for this to take place. So he leaves and he doesn't know exactly where he's going. The first place he lands is in the plain of Moreh. And when he's there, he builds an altar to God. Mind you, the law of Moses has not come up. There's nothing about building of altar as far as the law is concerned, but Abraham, through faith, knew what pleased God and wanted to seek the face of God. So he built an altar and he prays there and seeks God. And God appears to him at the plain of Moreh. And then to a mountain he travels that's east of Bethel. He builds an altar there again. And then he travels to the south. What does this help us to understand? So God gave Abraham a point of obedience. And because Abraham had faith in God, he went to where he really didn't know. God didn't tell him specifically, you just need to get and go to the land of Canaan. Now, the land, that would be like if we lived, you know, we're living in the United States. He says, get up and go to Spain. You're like, well, where in Spain? Well, get up and go to Spain. And so this is kind of the idea that he didn't know specifically where. He's just kind of going. And Abraham's faith and his faithfulness are displayed in his actions here, because even he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, but while he's going, he's setting up altars and praying to God and seeking his face for guidance and just to seek his face to walk with God while he's walking in the dark. And you and I need to do that. Not only do we get help from God, direction from God, but then we need to pray all the way through that time to make sure that we are in step with God in the outworking of what God's promise is in our lives. And so at any rate, we can take a lot from here from Abraham. Then we move to Genesis 15. And Abraham wonders, how is he going to be the father of many nations when he has no child? He then says to God, should my servant be my son through whom this whole promise should come? Because I don't have a son right now, but I do have a servant in my household. I could adopt him as a son. And God says, no, the son's going to come from your own loins. And when we think about this, this is kind of the same thought or feeling is like, Israel, the nation of Israel, had been promised this Messiah for so many years, and they're like, is it going to be him? Is he going to come? Do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? And it always seemed like time was slipping away. And you can imagine Abraham felt like time is slipping away. I'm getting older and I still don't have this son. Lord, how is this promise going to be fulfilled? God reassures Abram, telling him to look at the stars. So he didn't chide him, but he brings him out into the stars and he says, look up at the sky, Abraham. As many of these stars you see, that's how much of a great nation I'm going to make out of you. All the nations of the world will be blessed. These will all be your children, your seed. So what does this help us realize? God helps our questions during those waiting trials. When he gives us a promise, he gives us some direction, and it seems like everything's falling apart right now. God has an overarching plan that he's working out. And in the meantime, sometimes we get doubts. We're thinking, Lord, am I on the right track? Did I miss it? And then he helps us with our questions. And you know, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Then in Genesis 16, he tried to help God give him a son from his loins. Sometimes, you know, you and I can make really foolish choices when we're in the midst of the darkness of ignorance and confusion over our circumstances. We feel like this is what God is wanting and desiring, and it's not happening. So maybe I need to do something. And we should pray and say, Lord, what's my part in all this? Do I just sit back and wait? Or are you asking me to actively go forward in some way of obedience? And that is part of us walking with God through the entire process here. But sometimes we do make those foolish choices in the midst of darkness and confusion. Not a necessity, but it can happen. This is an excuse for us to do it, but it is a comfort knowing that as we look at this whole situation with Abraham, that we as people are just lowly and ignorant people. We need God's guidance, especially after he's given us some kind of direction in life. And we know that this is what God wants me to do. This is where he wants me to go. And when it looks like things are falling apart, we need God's guidance so we don't make foolish choices. And he had a son through his maidservant, his wife's maidservant, Hagar, from his own loins. But was that the one? It wasn't the one, and we find out that that was not the way God had intended things to work. Then we move to Genesis 17. 24 years later, from the first time that God promised him, 24 years later, here is Abraham with no child. And then he's told by God that there is a sure covenant that's made with Abraham and with his seed, and that kind of bolsters Abraham's faith up again. Look at how God just helps Abraham through this entire process. He bolsters his faith up after it's been such a long time. And why would God make such a covenant if he wasn't going to give me a son, should be the thought that went through Abraham's mind. So the covenant between, and it's the covenant between me and thy seed forever, as God had promised. So he said, you're going to have a seed because the covenant is with your seed and me, God said. So Abraham knew he's going to give me a son. Then Genesis 17, 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, with Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So it wasn't Ishmael. And we're told faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen or unseen in the beginning of this Hebrews 11. And that's what it was for Abraham with Isaac. It looked impossible from human standards. They were so old. How are they going to have a child? Yet God did not back up on that promise. And so he said this everlasting covenant will be established with Isaac. And then the sight must be kept on God and not what is in front of us. When it looks like everything's blowing up in our face, we have to say, well, God said. And that's easier said than done, but we can see this through Abraham's life. And then Genesis 21, 25 years after the promise that Isaac was, after the promise, Isaac was born. And think about the joy that finally set in now because Abraham stuck to God, stuck close to God, believed, and now, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But then when it comes, it's like a spring of life, a spring of joy. And this must have been how Abraham felt. Then we move to Hebrews 11, 18. He says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So when we look at this, this was much more than just giving a son, because then he brings Isaac to be sacrificed on a mountain because God asks him to sacrifice his only son after he just waited 25 years for him. Now, this Mount Moriah is the same as Calvary's Mount. So now Isaac is the type of Christ. He's the only begotten son, a miracle son of Abraham. He is then to be brought and be sacrificed on the same mountain that Jesus later would be sacrificed on. Isaac hadn't born any children yet. So God's got to do something miraculous because he promised this as an everlasting covenant to my seed, Isaac. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And we see the symbolism of the 3 days, just like Jesus with the 3 days. Then we look here, and some people think, well, Isaac was a small child. This is quite cruel. But when we think about things, and I wish I had time to read this, but Adam Clark suggests that, he's at least 25 years old, but probably more like 33 years old. He saw the piety of his father, Abraham. And if Abraham said, this is what God said, Isaac trusted Abraham, that God spoke this to him because his father wasn't a hypocrite. He had walked with God for years. And so Isaac willingly lays down, allowing Abraham to do this thing, even though God had stopped it. And you see this type of Christ through this entire thing. So Abraham had this far off faith of the plan of God's redemption through the lamb. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. So I say to you, dear listener, don't get discouraged if you've had those moments of doubt and discouragement in the time of waiting for God to fulfill his promise toward you. Abraham had that long faith, though he may have failed a little along that 25-year journey, his trajectory was going forward. And I just want to encourage you, don't just have your faith for the things that are in front of you here and now. Have the long faith. Who knows what God is going to do even after you're dead? Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. I'd love to talk with you over the phone. If you're local, I'd be happy to get a coffee with you. Every Thursday at 6:30 p.m., if you're local, we have a Bible study at Abide Coffee Shop. Before that, at 5:30, we're out on the square, and 4 p.m. out on the public square for a street meeting, and we'd love to see you there.